Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
Okay, so let's talk about something. You know, this is a topic of conversation this week a lot. Got a couple text messages on this one. Snowflake stock price soars in IPO. Man, I wanted to get this, Jim. We got to get some of this Snowflake IPO stock, don't we? Because you can make a ton of money, you know, when you buy this thing. And this is a real winner, don't you think?
Well, people always seem to think that about, IPOs, that it's going to be the next get-rich-quick scheme.
They do think that. Now, what they don't understand is how IPOs work and what's really going on. So I thought we'd just give you a little bit of the rest of the story, as the late Paul Harvey used to say. So Snowflake, this is a company. They're a cloud software startup, and they had an IPO, initial public offering. You know, when you have a company raising money for operations, they will do an initial public offering. Now, if they borrow money, it's a bond, right? Now, if you buy stock, typically you're buying in a secondary market. So you're buying off of some other person that happened to own the stock before you. So the company, you know, when you hear people say, I like this company. I want to help them out. I want to buy their stock. They realize that that's not the way it works. You're not helping them out in the least bit unless it's an IPO. You could be helping them. Now, what happened in this particular instance, which is interesting, is this thing soared. The shares of this data warehousing company, they closed at $253.93, on the IPO day, right? And that was more than double the IPO price, so of $120. So what happens, you'll have these underwriters, and they will set a price because they're trying to raise as much money for the company as they possibly can, but they don't want to set the price so high that nobody wants to buy it. So it's a tricky little balancing act. And in essence, what they did is they set the price at $120, and it was like the people came out of the woodwork and said, "Oh my goodness, I just think this is going to be the next." I don't know what they think it is. Some next maybe Zoom or something like, I'm not sure exactly what they thought it was going to be the next, whatever. So they bid it up and it went as high as it closed at $253 and it went as high as $319 during the course of the session. And somebody asked me about that. I says, you know, it'd been really, really great if you were the person that bought it at $120, and there was, you know, and what happens, you'll have a few people that get, and you know, sometimes it's they're just assigned some shares and they're just allowed to do it, and it can be one of those things where it's a popularity contest, like, you know, Berkshire Hathaway got some, Salesforce.com got some, and they were able to buy it at the $120 price, and that's what I was trying to explain, is it's really great if you're them because you buy it for $120. And it soars up to $253, and you know, if you are able to sell it, then you can actually sell it for, and you can sell it to whoever, and you go sell it to, and you know, $253, and man, you got a bunch of money. Now for Berkshire Hathaway, it's just about nothing. It's a drop in the bucket for them. So, you know, you look at it and go, well, see, look at that. That just proves that those guys are really great investors and they're just nailing it out of the park. But you know, you look at the amount of money that they have, or the value of those shares at Berkshire, and you know, you take a company like this, and it's just like, you know, it's like going to the bathroom on a forest fire. It's it's really nothing in the scheme of things. But what's really interesting is now they're saying this puts the pressure on us. Frank Slootman of Snowflake's chief executive says, this puts some pressure on us. We got to come through and we got to actually justify this price that is being paid for our stock. And here's the deal. When it comes down to revenue growth, this company was got a lot of people excited because they had triple digit revenue growth, right? The problem is they also had extremely high losses, and the losses are multiplying. So they've got to come through, and it's losses. I mean, they've got money coming in, but their expenses exceed the money coming in. So in order for this price to be justified, they've got to get those costs down. You got to have the revenue that keeps going up in order for the price of the stock to get to some range, which is fairly normal for a company like this. You know, so you look at this stuff, and IPOs can be problematic.
Well, IPOs in general, just, you know, you'll always hear the success stories, and you'll hear the big numbers, like, hey, it came out at 120 and it zoomed up to 319. What you don't hear is the long-term average record of IPOs, which is that they are poor investments.
They usually lose money, yeah.
As a group, absolutely. What made me kind of laugh is just the name Snowflake in today's climate, because before I knew anything about what they did, I was just trying to think, well, what does a company called Snowflake do? And the only thing I could come up with is maybe they build safe spaces.
They're going to have a meltdown is what they're going to have, because, you know, after the...
Cha-da-bing!
Yeah, right. Well, see after a company comes out, and here's the thing. Who benefits from this? Again, it is that entity that bought the shares at the price that it was set at the beginning. Now, I saw someplace, I don't remember where the heck it was, but this was one of the biggest losses of revenue for the company that has been out there. In other words, when they get the 120 and they get to operate, but you know, when those shares are bought, think about it. If Berkshire buys it for 120 and it goes up to $253, who gets the other $133? Well, it's not Snowflake. It is Berkshire. They're the ones that benefit from that. So you think about that. When you're raising capital to run a company, you're raising money to run that company, you get the money from the shares because you're selling the opportunity to own a part of the company. What did they sell those shares for? 120. What happened? Somebody bought it for 120, in this case, Berkshire and Salesforce. And then what happened is when it went up to the new price, well, who got that money? Well, Salesforce and Berkshire or whoever sold the shares. Now, they weren't the only ones that got the initial allocation of shares. There are other people and entities that got allocation of shares. So I want you to get that they didn't necessarily benefit from this, nor do you benefit from it if you're the one that goes out there and go, man, I just got to own this company, because you're going to be that one that pays. And some people, I mean, I feel sorry for them in a way. Some people went out there and paid that $319 per share. Somebody out there, because that's what the price went up to. And then, of course, it closed to 253, so it was probably the quickest loss they ever suffered in their life, where it just, bam, you know, it's just easy come, easy go. But so I just wanted to understand, you know, it just reminds me of that John Mellencamp song, you know, hey, baby, you ain't missing nothing. Jack and Diane.
Okay.
You ain't missing nothing. Typically, the first 9 months, some studies have said, IPOs typically lose money. If you're a buyer. So it's one of those things that when I'm looking for mutual funds, I look for funds that don't engage in buying IPOs. And that's the reason. You're listening to the Investor Coaching Show, and I'm your host, Paul Winkler. Hey guys, if you want specific advice for your unique situation, schedule a free 15-minute phone chat with one of our trusted advisors by going to paulwinkler.com/call. We don't sell any products, and our advisors don't make any commissions, so this isn't a sales call. We have a coaching process that helps you understand investing and relax about money. Don't put blind trust in anyone with your financial assets. We want to partner with you in the process so you know what you're doing and why. We manage assets on a fee-only basis, which means that when you do well, we do well, which aligns our interests with yours from the start. We also bring you into the financial planning process that gives you a clear plan so you can find the freedom to pursue your purpose. All our advisors are degreed planners, too, with years of experience. So schedule a free 15-minute phone call with an advisor by going to paulwinkler.com/call. You're listening to the Investor Coaching Show, and I'm your host, Paul Winkler. We'll see you next time.